Quick. Father, we thank you for this opportunity where we can come together and hear from your word, Lord. As we begin to uncover your word this morning, speak to our hearts. Help us to hear what you have to say today. But help us to not just be hearers, but to be able to apply what is said today in our daily lives. So at this time, I give you the platform, Lord. Speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So we've been dealing with a new series, and the series titled, Is God Still Relevant? It's a very important question that I believe must be answered by everyone, especially in the time that we're living in. And Pastor Gary started off the series last week, and he talked about the fact that there are many of us in our lives that may feel a little bit of guilt. He talked about guilt God. Sometimes you have done some things in your life and you feel guilty. You feel like God is about to punish you or to do something to you. And so you have this image of God that is not consistent with who God is. And so it is important for us to understand that as believers and as followers of Christ, God is not just looking at you and waiting for you to mess up so he can start beating you down. You know, so many of us, we're walking around with the guilt and we're walking around with the shame. And so Pastor Gary spoke to us a whole lot about that. Today, we're going to be talking about on-demand God. On-demand God. And just before we introduce this, I'm going to ask you, you're going to listen to some music in about a minute, in a second. And there might be some of you that may not be able to identify with some of the music. There might be a lot of you that may be able to. But if you are, I'm going to ask you to shout it out if you know the answer. We're going to be playing some old television series sitcom music. And just to see if we can kind of get an idea of what those are. All right? You ready? All right, so we're going to play the first one. Not coming up? Okay. All right. In the meantime, while we're connecting to the Wi-Fi, don't worry. We got it all set. Here's the thing. We're living in a society today that is very different than most people, most of us who have grown up in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, even the 2000s. Society is rapidly changing. All right? And some of the things that we're seeing today, it actually has to be, I'm sorry, it has to be connected to probably my Wi-Fi after you're done, but yeah, you can go ahead. All right, so yes, I apologize about that. So, oh, my hotspot was off, that's why. All right, these gadgets. All right, So we're living in a society where everything is rapidly changing. Everything that you
now
need.
Now the world don't
move here we go.
To the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you?
You sure about that?
May not be right for
some of you guys, everybody agrees? What's the name of this song? Different Strokes. All right, all right, all right. Let's move on to the next one. Let's see if you know the next one.
Well, we're moving on up.
Moving on up.
To the
pretty much everybody knows that. All right. All right, let's go on down to the third one. Let's see if any of you know the third one. How many of you guys know that one? Some of you younger generations might not know this. You might have heard that music and you're like, what is that? Sanford and Son. All right, next one. All right, facts of life, facts of life. Now, what I am doing right here is telling you the age of almost everybody that's answering, so. All right, let's get another one. Let's see if you know the other one here. Maybe this might be the last one. Ah, look at that. All right, here we go. All right, good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, these were songs that was from the 70s, 80s, 90s. These were sitcoms that many of us grew up on, right? And we all have, and even today you might see some of those sitcoms on television once in a while. But the reason why I brought this up was, see, back in the days, if you wanted to watch a show like that, you had to tape it, right, on a thing called a VCR. How many of you guys remember what that, know what that is? Right, a VCR. It's kind of weird that we're actually saying that. But it's a little cassette tape that you would put in the VCR. A VCR is like a before the DVD came about. All right? So you would have like stacks of these stuff in your house. And if you wanted to watch or rewatch anything, you would go back and you would put that cassette tape in there and you would play it. Right? Nowadays you have DVDs. Where you, if you want to go back to some of the old shows, they're on DVDs, they're coming out. As a matter of fact, when some of them come out on DVDs, we hurry up and buy them because we like to keep them for keepsake. But now, what is happening in the time that we're living in, because televisions have realized that they haven't been getting as much viewers as they wanted to get, they started recording everything by themselves. And so what they do is they have all these things on demand, right? Now, if some of you guys might have your cable services or so on, anytime you want to watch a movie or an old movie, it could be even a new movie, you would probably go where to go find it? You'll go on demand. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of people who are ditching the movie theaters and so on because it's easier to just access whatever you need at home. It's easier to access it at home. And that's the kind of generation that we're living in today. It's the generation where everything is at your fingertips. And so if you need something, it's right there. It's right at the click of a button. You can pull it right up. It's there at my demand. And what has happened with society is that we have become impatient. Impatient. As a matter of fact, I have a hard time. I go to Dunkin' Donuts every now and then to go buy a cup of coffee. And if I go and the line is like 3 cars long, I drive off to the next Dunkin' Donuts because I just can't wait, because everybody is in such a hurry to try to get everything done that you don't really have time to wait, right? But, you know, one of the things that I realized, that the extra 5 seconds or 10 seconds or extra minute, it's not going to kill you, you know, but we still just can't wait. And so what we have done in our society is that we want everything right now. As a matter of fact, there's a commercial. You ever heard that commercial? I want it all. I want it all. Remember? I want it. And I want it what? Now. I want it right now. Everything that I need, I want to have it right now. You know, sometimes, as believers and as followers of Christ, sometimes that's the same kind of attitude that we have when it comes to God. Sometimes we come to God and we have this list of demands that we have, and we want God to fulfill those demands. It's like a prescription at Walgreens. You just walk right in there and you just hear God, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that, and I want it now. And you can't wait. For some of us, it may be the fact that we're seeing our parents fighting all the time, and we pray and we want to see God do something. And the praying didn't work. And then now the parents is headed for a divorce, and you wonder, where is God in all of this? Where is God in all of this? For some of us, it might be that job that you really want. And you know that extra income is going to help out your family. And so you pray to God and you say, God, can you please provide this for me? It's open. And then you find somebody who is even less qualified than you get the job. And you say, but God, I prayed and I asked you and it didn't happen. For some of us, it may be for a loved one who is sick, someone who may be dying. And we're praying to God that God will just perform a miracle, that God would heal that person. And God doesn't do it. And when God doesn't do it, we say, well, where is God in all of this? Where is he? Is God still relevant? And so what we have done is that we have become we've become so angry at God. And we base God's existence on whether or not he delivers on our demands. You may think that this is just me or some of us, but cable television mogul Ted Turner, who's the owner of CNN, he criticized fundamental Christianity and said, Jesus probably would be sick at his stomach over the way his ideas have been twisted. This is from the Atlanta Journal and Constitution report. Turner made his remarks Friday evening at a banquet in Orlando. This was a long time ago, where he was given an award by the American Humanist Association for his work on behalf of the environment and world peace. Turner said he had a strict Christian upbringing and at one time considered becoming a missionary. He says, I was saved 7 or 8 times. The newspaper quoted him as saying, but he said he became disenchanted with Christianity after his sister died, despite his prayers. And he said the more he strayed away from his faith was the better that he felt. Now, most people would look at this gentleman and they would say, well, this is an intelligent person. But he based the theology of who God is on whether or not he gets his demands met. And so it is with many of us in this society. We base everything based on whether or not God is able to meet my needs. And when God doesn't respond the way that we want him to, we become disappointed. And then when we become disappointed and we don't deal with that disappointment, it turns into anger and we begin to blame God for why our needs are not met. And then most of us, some of us, we walk away from God. But could it be that we have a version of God that is completely different from who God is? Could it be that God knows what's best for you? And maybe we ourselves don't even understand who we really are and what's even best for us. Could it be that the reason why some of our prayers are not answered is because God knows that the minute those prayers are answered, it's not going to change the way you think about him at all? You see, there are two things that we need to look at. And there's two reasons why people have this demand of God. And number one is because they have an inaccurate view of who God is. Number two, we have an inaccurate view of who we are. And I believe that the Bible have a lot to say about that. And if some of you have your Bibles, or you might be able to see it on the overhead here, we're going to talk about this on-demand God. When God doesn't deliver for the things that we demand. So most of you might be asking the question right now, why doesn't God give me what I want? Why doesn't God give me what I want? I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. It will be Matthew chapter 6. We'll be reading from verse 9 through 13. Jesus was having an encounter with his disciples. This is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. This particular passage was also recorded in the book of Luke. So you will find that it's mentioned twice. The first time it was mentioned here was when Jesus was preaching to the multitude. Then there was a part in Luke where it appears that it was a question that was asked by the disciples to Christ. They were asking Jesus, well, how is it that we ought to pray? Can you teach us how to pray? And so Jesus began by first talking about some of the attitudes that we ought to have when we're praying. And some of the attitudes that Jesus was saying is that, listen, when you are praying, I don't want you to be like the Pharisees. I don't want you to be like those people who stand there hoping to be recognized, who are praying to God and saying, oh, God, I'm so glad that I'm not like this guy. I'm so glad that I don't do the same things like they're doing. I'm not as sinful as them. And Jesus began by saying, hey, listen, when you're praying to God, sometimes it doesn't have to be something that is need to be done in public. But he says that the most effective prayers are those prayers that are done in private, in that moment where it's one-to-one with you and God. And then now Jesus began now by teaching the disciples a little bit more about prayer. He began to expound a little bit about how do you really pray. And Jesus began to introduce something that was new to the disciples. He started viewing God as Father. It's like, what? You see, and the reason why this was so important was because in the Old Testament, the word Father was only mentioned about 15 times when it comes to God. And anytime it was mentioned in the Old Testament, there was no intimacy involved. Some of the things that they would say is that God is like the father of Israel. So they would have that parental view of God. But now Jesus begins to show them, and Jesus begins to say, hey, listen, I want you to understand something, especially when you get to pray. One of the things that you will find is that this God whom we serve wants to be intimate with you. And so that's why Jesus says, this is how you approach him. So there is two things that you're going to find out about this prayer. Number one, you're going to find out how do we approach God. Number two, you're going to find out that God wants to meet your needs. So the first thing he says, listen, when you pray, this is how you ought to pray. Jesus said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, what Jesus was essentially saying here is that our view of God determines our approach to God. Our view of God determines our approach to God. You see, when you have a God on demand, what you do is you just go straight to him and you just walk up to him any old way you feel and you just demand. Most of you may have children. And at times, your kids will have a need. And the first thing they will come up to you is, Daddy, Daddy, Mommy, Mommy, can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? Can I please, 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 please have this? And you would be like, no. You know, especially if your parents is from the Caribbean. Usually, we say no for everything. We say no even when it don't even make any sense. Mommy, can I go to school? No. Oh, wait a second. Oh. You know, it's just the way how we are, you know. But so this is how on demand people look at God. They come to God and they come to God with a list of demands. But Jesus is saying, listen, when you're coming to God, the first thing you need to understand about God is, number one, he is a father. And God wants to be intimate with you. So what is this whole thing is he saying? He is saying that whenever you're praying, it is a communication with God. It is not just walking up to him with a whole list of demands. He is saying that God wants to communicate with you. He wants to develop a relationship with you. And that relationship is going to be developed by building trust and dependency. So when you go to God, he said, as Father, what you have recognized is that I am a child of God. You see, when Jesus is saying this, he's saying, listen, I want you to understand something. Whenever you think about Father, what do you think about? Authority, right? So you think about the person being the authority figure. And so Jesus is saying, hey, listen, when you walk into the presence of God, you cannot just walk in any old way you feel. You must recognize him for who he is. And Jesus says, you must recognize him as Father. The second thing that Jesus says about him, he says, hallowed be thy name. So what is Jesus actually saying? Jesus is saying, when you walk into the presence of God, you must come correct. In the 90s, Busta Rhymes used to have a song that he had, and he started off and he would go like, yah, 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 yah. Some of you guys know that, right? You guys remember that, right? Right? And then when he walks in, he'll be like, when I step up in the place, you know I step correct. Hoo-ha! I got you all in check. Y'all remember that? Some of you guys remember that, right? Some of you guys looking like, what? That was a rap song? Yeah. Buster's still relevant, right? Anyways, so what is Jesus saying? When you step into the presence of God, you must step correct. He says, hallowed be thy name. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, the minute you walk into God's presence, you must have respect for who it is that you're walking up to. You cannot just walk up into God's presence any old way you feel. And that's why he says, hallowed be thy name. In other words, God must be honored and reverenced. And the word hallowed right there, it means holy, and it means to revere someone. It means that God is a holy God, where he cannot tolerate any kind of sin. He's separated, he's set apart. So you can't just walk into his presence any old way you feel with your list of demands. And so this is what Jesus is saying. He is saying that you must recognize him as Father. You must honor him and you must revere him. And the third thing Jesus said is you must seek his will. His will must be established. What did he say? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, what Jesus was saying is this. Listen, guys. God does not exist to do your will. Let me repeat that again. God does not exist to do your will. Listen to what Psalm 135 verse 6 says. It says, the Lord does whatever pleases him. In the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. Listen to that. You heard what the psalmist is saying? He is saying that God has the authority to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, with whomever he wants. So when you're walking up into his presence, you've got to be cognizant of that. That God can do whatever he feels like doing. He is God. And we must recognize that. We must understand that when we walk into it, into his presence. God does not exist to do our will. The second thing that we need to understand, we exist to do God's will. That is the purpose for which God has created us, so that we can do his will. Listen to this other verse here in Psalm 40 and verse 8. It says, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within me. In other words, the psalmist is saying, the reason for my being, the reason for me being here is so that I may please you. Not so that you can please me. So what Jesus is saying here is that whenever you are in the presence of God, you must recognize him as a father. You must come to him honoring him and revering him. You must come to him seeking his will before you start talking about your needs. The problem with us that continues to make demands of God is that we walk into God's place, and all we have is what our will is. And when God doesn't meet our will, we walk away. Jesus says, When you come to God's presence, you've got to come correct. You've got to come correct. The image that you have of God is going to determine your approach. So the thing is, we have this image that God is there at our beck and call. And anytime we want, we can just run right into his presence, say, Father, Father, gimme, 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 gimme. And Jesus is saying, certain things must be done. You got to recognize his authority. You've got to recognize that he has his will. He does whatever he wants. You've got to make sure that you recognize that you are talking to a holy God. So then Jesus says, after you've dealt with that part, then you can start deal with the other part, which is this. God wants to meet your needs. God wants to meet your needs. Now, Jesus is not saying don't come to God with demands at all. What Jesus is talking about here is how you approach him with those demands, right? So you must recognize him first. But now Jesus says, okay, here is the second part of it. We're going to start dealing with our needs. We're going to start dealing with our needs. So we go back and he says what? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then he says, give us this day our daily bread. So there are two kind of needs here that Jesus is going to deal with the finishing verses. And the first needs he deals with is our physical need. That is your daily bread. That means that God wants to meet your physical need. That means that if you have, if your need is financial, emotional, if it's a job, if it's a house, if it's marriage, whatever it is, God wants to meet your need. And what it's saying here is that give us our daily bread. In other words, meet my physical needs. And Jesus is saying here that God wants to meet those needs. The second kind of needs that he wants to meet is your spiritual needs. And that's why he says, forgive us of our debts as we are forgiving others. And then the last part says, and lead us not into temptation. So what he's asking for is, I'm asking for forgiveness of God, because that's a spiritual need that every single one of us has. And the third and the last thing is, I am asking also for God to guide me through every step that I take, to wherever I go. So in other words, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that whenever you come to God, understand that God wants to meet your needs. Here's the thing about it, guys. God already knows what you need from before you even come to him. Jesus said it in the gospel. Jesus said, hey, listen, your father already knows what your needs are. He knows exactly what is it that you need. But Jesus didn't even stop there. Jesus went a little bit over into another chapter, and he went over to Matthew chapter 7. And he told us how we ought to approach God for our needs. He informs us that when it comes to God, several things that we can do in order to get our needs met. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 12, we're going to read. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Then he gives the promise. For everyone who asks, receive. For the one who seeks, find. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Then Jesus gives an example. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, when you see the word there, I want you to note the progression. Jesus says, ask. Then he said, seek. Then he said, knock. Now, the Greek word for ask is the Greek word aeo, and it means to beg, to crave, to desire. It doesn't mean to just ask for asking's sake. What it means is that you're consistently demanding of God. So God is not against demanding. As long as it is done in the proper way. As long as when you're demanding of God, you first recognize who God is, first recognize he's holy, first recognize he's a father, first recognize his will first before you start making your demands. And so this is what Jesus is saying. When you come to God, you can ask. You can seek. You can knock. And when he's talking about knocking on the door, Jesus is not talking about, you know how some people knock on your door, and if they don't hear you after 2 minutes, they're gone? What Jesus is talking about is a consistent knock. That's why that verse that we read in Revelation that says, "Behold, I stand on the door and knock." Most people think that Jesus is just going to come after two tries. Nobody's home. I'm gone. It's a consistent knocking. And God is saying, listen, if you want your needs met, what you have to do is to be consistently dependent on God. Why? He says when you approach God through prayer on a consistent basis, God will respond to your demands. When you approach God through prayer on a consistent basis, God will meet your demands. You see, the promise of answered prayer is to everyone that follows the progression. So these words are what is called present participle. And it means this: to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, and to keep on knocking. Now, there are times when God doesn't meet our needs. There are times when God doesn't give in to our demands. And there are four reasons that I'm going to give you today as to when those will occur. And the first reason is going to be our motives. When we don't have the correct motive when we come to God, we will not find Him meeting our needs. James says in chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, when you ask amiss, meaning that you're asking with the wrong motive. Like some people would say, God, I pray and I beg you to help me to win the lotto. I'm not so sure that's a prayer that He would answer. Because then again, if prayer is a way of depending on God, right, then how do you respond with that? How much dependency you're going to have on God with that? Some people might say, well, then I'll pray to God to give me to help me to win the lotto, and then I'm dependent on God to help me to win the lotto, you know. So James is saying here that when you ask, there are times when you ask amiss. The second thing that he says is that, listen, there are times when you ask and you're asking not believing in God. You're not believing that God is capable of doing what you're asking Him for. And this is where the consistency of asking and seeking and knocking comes into play. Because there are times when people just walk up to God and they just mention certain things to God. They're not really believing that God is going to do it. They're just saying it. I'm just going to say it to you. But then when it doesn't happen, we still blame God that God didn't meet our needs. The third thing is, if there is an evidence of disobedience in your life. If there is a part in your life where you have not been consistent with following God, your prayers will be affected. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples. I'm going to give you the example of one of the greatest leaders throughout the Bible. And it's a man called Moses. So there was a time when the children of Israel were grumbling against God, and they were saying that you brought us out here from Egypt, and you brought us into this land to flowing with milk and nut. We're going to Canaan, and we have no provision. We have no food. We don't have no water. And they began to grumble at Moses. And Moses went up to God, and Moses prayed to God, and he says, God, could you please help? And I'm paraphrasing here. Could you please help? And God said to Moses, okay, Moses, I want you to go and speak to the rock, and then water is going to come from the rock. So Moses went over to the rock, and the people were still grumbling, and they were yelling at Moses. And Moses, in a fit of rage, took the rod that God gave him, and he struck the rock. Water still came. The problem was Moses was disobedient with God. All right. So you might say, well, how does this relate? Here's the thing. As punishment for Moses, show you how God is no respecter of persons. As punishment for Moses, God told Moses, because you refuse to do what I ask you to do and you embarrass me in front of people, guess what? you will not enter into the land of Canaan. It's like, what? You mean I took millions of people all the way from Egypt, all the way, and I'm not even going to? It's not going to go. And Moses pleaded with God, and he begged God, please let me go into the land. Let me walk into the land. Let me just see what the land is. God says, the only thing I'm going to do for you, Moses, is I'm going to let you see the land, but you will not enter. Because Moses disobeyed God. And because he disobeyed God, God said, listen, because of that, your prayer is not going to be answered. So there are times when we're praying to God and we're seeking God. God is saying, listen, check your life. Check your personal life. Check your life to see what's going on. As a matter of fact, it also says this of people who are in marriage. It says that, husband, if you don't treat your wife right before God, your prayers will not be answered. So God is not going to answer your prayer if he sees that there is an evidence of sin in your life. And so the fourth reason why God doesn't meet our demands. Fourth reason is, God may have a better plan for us. You know, I asked my daughter this question the other day. I said, well, tell me one of the reasons why God doesn't answer our prayers. And she was like, that's because God may have a better plan for you. I'm like, smart aleck. You know, so the fourth reason is, because God has a better plan for our lives. Think about the Apostle Paul, who wrote pretty much most of the New Testament. Paul was going through an issue in his life, what he called a thorn in the flesh. And Paul said, I prayed to God, and I begged God to deliver me from it. And he said, how many times? Three times? And God came back to him. And what was God's response? I'm not going to cure the issue that you're going through. However, what I am going to do is give you the strength that you need so that you can overcome the issue, so you can endure it. So there are times when you're going through things and you're praying to God and you're asking God for help and you get no answers and you're wondering what's going on. Maybe it is because God is developing something in you and giving you the endurance to get through it. Because God knows more about you than you know about yourself. Because God knows more about you than you know about yourself. Now here's the thing. There are times when there is no answer. And I got to tell you, this is one of the questions that I've been asked a lot of times, and it's one of the hardest questions I've had to answer. I remember earlier in my walk with the Lord, people would ask me questions, and the first thing I would try to do is to give them an answer and tell them that this is what the Bible says and this is what God says. But I got to tell you the truth. There are some times when you pray to God and there's no answer. There's no answer. There's no explanation as to why. There are some things that, remember we say that, okay, you pray for your family member and you expect God to heal them and they still die. I don't know if you remember last year when Pastor Gary was speaking the message on Stephen, that there are some times when things just happen. I mean, Stephen was God's servant, and he got stoned to death. God could have intervened, but God chose not to. And there's a lot of times we sit there and we wonder and we worry, and we try to figure out, well, why don't you answer me? Why don't you give me what I want, God? Why don't I get what I want? And I got to tell you this, guys. You see, if God gave us everything we wanted, a lot of us would have been spoiled. A lot of us would have been spoiled. When kids get whatever they want, at times they can become manipulative. Yeah, they become manipulative and they dominate the adults. They will throw a temper tantrum, and what the adults will do, they will give in. What that shows is this, that the kid now becomes in control. But what God is showing us here through his word is that regardless of what you're going through, no matter how difficult the circumstances are, God is still in control. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. So God is still very much in control of the situation. So what am I saying? I'm saying that that God that we walk up to just to make any demands and expect him to respond and expect him to just give us what we want without the proper approach, that kind of God doesn't exist. That kind of God doesn't exist. Does that look like the kind of God that we're just seeing here? Is that the kind of God that we're seeing here? No. So the question is then, how can I have my prayers answered then? How can I get the things that I demand? The first thing, as we said earlier, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, number one, we pray according to God's will. We pray that God's will be done. Whatever situation it is that you're looking for, we pray that God, first of all, I'm asking you for this. But if this is not consistent with what your will is, I'm willing to take a loss here. And I'm still going to trust you. I'm still going to walk with you. I'm still going to believe in you because I know that you have a better plan for me. So that's the first thing. We pray according to his will. The second thing that we do is we pray believing. We pray believing. Listen to this verse in Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. It says, therefore I tell you that whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and what? It will be yours. Whatever you ask for God in prayer, he says, believe that you have received it, and then it will be yours. So you pray according to God's will. You pray believing. And third, you humble yourself before God. You humble yourself before God. Listen to what Peter says. 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders, all of you. Clothe yourself with humility towards one another. Because, what? God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due times. What it teaches you is two things. Humility teaches you two things. Number one, it teaches you that there is a God. Number two, he ain't you. And I think that once we understand that, our approach to God will be much different. Then we will start seeing God the way that he is. Then we will start being able to start having some answers to prayers. And even if we don't get the answers that we're looking for, we can trust him. We can trust him. I remember the story that was told about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego, some people say a bad Negro. The three Hebrew boys were captivated by Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar had this thing where he said, hey, listen, I want all you guys to worship me and bow down before me. Everybody's going to do it. When I play the music, everybody's going to bow down and worship me. And then they played the music, and the three Hebrew boys decided that they're not going to do it. Nebuchadnezzar walked up and said, hey, listen, didn't I tell you guys to bow down? He was like, no, we're not going to do it because we serve God. We serve the true God, and we will not bow down. And Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, I'm going to hot this furnace a little bit hotter. And if you guys don't bow down, I'm going to throw you guys in there. Three Hebrew boys said, we still not going to bow down. But what they said after that was very interesting. They said, we know that our God is able to deliver us. even if we're in the fire. God is able to deliver me even when I'm going through the difficult circumstances of my life. God is able to deliver me from any problems that I get into, no matter what. As long as it is consistent with his will. But then they said, and even if God doesn't deliver us, I'm still not going to bow down. You see, the thing is, we have to have that attitude that said, yes, I'm praying to you, God. Yes, I'm praying your will. Yes, I'm coming with the right approach. But even if we don't get the things that we demand of you, I'm still going to trust you. I'm still going to walk with you. And I'm still going to be the person that you have called me to be. So with this, we'll close. One of the things that I want us to understand here about God is this. Without any shadow of a doubt, God loves you, every single one of us that are here. And God wants to meet our needs. However, God has his ways that he intends to meet those needs. But there is one need that every single one of us has that God already put up the first payment on. The Bible declares, but God demonstrated his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, that demonstrates to us that God is concerned about your needs, whether it be physical or spiritual. But God first met the spiritual need by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. So where does that leave us? If you are here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God wants to meet that need. Some of you might be here and you've been praying for a while, you've been seeking, you've been asking questions, and you've been trying to find out, God, why is it that I'm not getting what I want? And all God is saying is, listen, I want to give you what you want. I want to give you what you're looking for. But I don't exist to do your will. You exist to do my will. And God wants you to come to him. Let us just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, O God, that you are a God who cares, that you are a God who loves us. You see our needs, Lord God, before we even ask them. You know how difficult situation is. You know what's going on in each and every single one of our lives. And most of all, oh God, we know you want to meet our needs. And so we come before you at this time, oh God, and we're asking you, let your will be done in our lives today. May we be the people you have called us to be. That when we have a demand, Lord God, that we'll step to you correct. Because we know that you are more than capable of meeting our needs. And so we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.